WABC New York and 107.1 WLIR Hampton Bays.
It's the 77 WABC News Hour.
Talking the news with Noam Layden.
All the news you need to know with Joe Nolan, Traffic, Justin Ellick, Sports, and now
Talking the News with Noam
on 77 WABC.
Yes, that's me, 5 o'clock. Good morning. It is Wednesday, April 24th. Your forecast from the Ramsey Mazda Weather Center. Could see a shower this morning. Sun and clouds this afternoon, high 69. Tonight, overnight, some passing clouds, low 42, and then a little bit cooler for Thursday. Sunshine, high 56. If you are walking out the door with us right now, it is 46 and clear in East Hampton, out on Long Island, 51 and partly cloudy over in Jackson in New Jersey, and it is 50 and cloudy outside our Midtown studios. A whole lot to get to as we work our way up to the 6 o'clock hour. Sid and friends in the morning last night, the Senate passing this major foreign aid package. It includes $60 billion in aid for Ukraine, $26 billion to support Israel, along with humanitarian aid for Gaza, and $8.1 billion for the allies in the Indo-Pacific. It also includes provisions to allow the sale of frozen assets of Russian oligarchs to help fund future aid to Ukraine, along with a measure that would force the sale of TikTok. That might be the biggest thing out of this story. Now, a lot of people want to talk about the foreign aid packages. A lot of people upset about that. Definitely a wing of the Republican Party will not be happy that this got through. But for anybody who's like, of a certain age. Well, I guess everybody's on TikTok now, aren't they? TikTok might be the big story, that this is the final part of maybe taking down and taking away the TikTok app, which about 77 million Americans watch almost daily. So this is a huge deal. South Dakota Senator Mike Rounds says he supports the direction of this bill and would be happy if TikTok went away.
I think it is something that we're going to have to do something about. The best approach would be if they were to divest and to allow for American ownership. If not, then we're probably going to have to eliminate it from the platforms.
Now, my kids would be really upset about this. Hey, you know, truthfully, I'd be kind of upset. I watch TikTok a lot. It would force the Chinese company to sell, or the app would be taken away. They'd have to sell to American interests. The thought here is that the Chinese are using TikTok to influence us in so many ways and to steal information from us in so many ways. But kind of what Facebook and Instagram already do, no?
170 million American users of TikTok, but I bet virtually all of them don't understand is that once TikTok's on your phone, the Chinese Communist Party basically owns it.
Yeah, so here's the question, and I get this all the time from my kids and their friends, isn't Facebook stealing information from us or watching what we do and using this information to send advertisers our way? Don't they push their politics our way? That's kind of what the Chinese would essentially be doing or are doing.
I don't think many Americans are aware of how this disinformation is being spread.
Yeah, I think they actually are well aware of it, and they still want to keep their TikTok. So it's going to be fascinating to watch it go forward, see if TikTok will divest itself, sell itself to an American interest for it to run, for them to take our information and sell it elsewhere. So it isn't gone yet. But we're talking about a window in the next 4 to 6 months where TikTok would have to make this decision about what it wants to do in the U.S. And it looks like, by the way, Republicans, Democrats, both on board of getting rid of TikTok off the app platform if it doesn't follow through on what it's asking TikTok to do. Down in Lower Manhattan, former President Trump will be back in a courtroom again today, blasting the validity of his trial after that second day of testimony wrapped up.
The case is a sham, and it shouldn't even be tried. It shouldn't have been submitted.
Trump said the trial is being conducted at the behest of President Biden to keep him off the campaign trail. Earlier witnesses for the prosecution, David Pecker, said when he ran the National Enquirer, he funneled payments through Trump's lawyer, Michael Cohen, to kill a story about an alleged affair with a Playboy model. Prosecution expected to show the exact arrangement was used again with adult film star Stormy Daniels to cover up Trump's affair with her before the 2016 race.
You know, this is all Biden, just in case anybody has any question. And they're keeping me in a courtroom, it's freezing, by the way, in a courtroom all day long.
Prosecutors say that money, the money that was hidden about Stormy Daniels, was buried in illegal accounting practices, is the heart of this criminal case against Trump. So the Hush Trunny trial, it resumes again this morning. Former National Enquirer publisher David Pecker expected to continue testifying for a third day after explaining to the court how he paid people for the rights to negative stories about Trump, only to never publish them in order to protect the presidential candidate. He's also expected to be questioned about Stormy Daniels, the adult film star who Trump had the alleged affair with and who is at the is the important part, at least for the prosecution, of this criminal case. So we'll continue to watch that in Lower Manhattan. And then in Upper Manhattan, the protests continue. The Columbia University pro-Palestinian protesters, their tent city on the green in the middle of the campus, it's still there this morning. The president of Columbia University issued a midnight deadline to student protesters to reach an agreement on clearing the encampment. But here it is, 5 hours later, that encampment is still there.
Fears our voices and they fear our power. They are nothing but another Zionist institution.
Yeah.
Shame!
There they are. In a letter to the university community, Columbia President Manoush Shafiq said the protesters will have until the end of Tuesday, which has come and gone, to come to an agreement on clearing the encampment of the West Lawn of the school's Morningside Heights campus.
It gives me so much hope that students are standing up for what they believe in. You look at history, students have always been on the right side of history.
I've seen that buses of students getting arrested.
So part of the issue here is not just the protest, but Jewish students on campus say they are being harassed by these protesters, don't feel comfortable around campus, and they say the school has done nothing or very little to protect them.
I think the university has ultimately failed. I think that offering hybrid classes is, well, it's helpful for some students. It's basically saying we either cannot or will not protect you.
Yeah, he says they're waving the white flag. And now the school's talking about moving the graduation to a neutral place off the campus because they're worried about protests, a place like Yankee Stadium, or more, maybe even going virtual for graduation.
We're hoping like graduation doesn't get affected too much. I think there are conversations about moving to Yankee Stadium or somewhere off campus. Like a completely virtual graduation would kind of suck.
Yeah, these are the students who already went through the pandemic and had virtual classes. Now to have virtual graduations just seems sort of ridiculous. WABC News Time 510. Let's go back up to the Columbia campus. NYPD looking at reports that outside groups are funding anti-Israel protests at universities in the Big Apple. That wouldn't be a shock. The NYPD Deputy Commissioner of Operations, Kaz Daltrey, says professional agitators are behind some of these protests.
Look at the tents. They all were the same color. They all were the same type of tents. The same ones that we saw on NYU, the same ones that we see in Columbia.
We've seen this with other protests, so this would not be totally surprising that outside groups were funding or even sending protesters here.
We strongly believe that is the case right now, that there are people who are here, they latch on to any protest.
Yeah, so here's the issue with that is some of those agitators can be really violent.
To see our police officers having bottles thrown at them, chairs, people who peacefully protest for an issue, they're not throwing bottles and chairs.
Yeah, he's right about that. So Mayor Adams says his administration's been meeting with the college leaders at Columbia, with NYU, other schools to advise them on how to prevent the protests from escalating.
We should address this while it is just a spark. Let's not wait until it's a blazing fire. That's the goal.
Yeah, we already saw that downtown on the NYU campus.
We're going to be as informative as we possibly will without crossing the line to make sure the security personnel at the schools prevent those from coming on the campus who are not there. If you're not there for education, then why are you there?
So Columbia has successfully kept some of those people off campus by using security guards and security cards to get in and off campus. You got to be a college student. The card has to work. If it doesn't, they won't let you on the campus. So most of the people who are on that green, who are sitting in those tents at this hour, probably some of them listening to me, are people who are most likely college students.
I believe, number one, you can't break the law, like throwing bottles and chairs. But number two, it's not illegal, but it's immoral. to call for a destruction of anyone.
And now a plywood wall surrounds most of NYU's Gould Plaza, where those pro-Palestinian protesters demonstrated Monday night. Many students, neighbors stopping by the open space in front of NYU's Stern School of Business to watch construction crews assemble this makeshift wall yesterday.
I think it's an extreme overreaction. I think it just makes things worse.
I support it because I think it's hate speech. It's honestly just ridiculous. I'm Jewish and I find it very intimidating.
It comes after about 120 demonstrators arrested Monday evening, many of whom the university believes are from outside organizations, managed to breach these metal barricades intended to keep the protests from growing.
We have people coming into our classrooms all the time that don't go to NYU, and it's not appropriate. And if this is what it takes to keep the students safe, I pay a lot of money to go to school here. Keep me safe.
Yeah, so you got students on both sides.
I just think they're trying to keep everybody safe. But I don't like seeing this happen to, like, campus.
This is embarrassing for NYU. They're ugly, first of all. But second of all, they're stopping people from doing their First Amendment right, which is just appalling.
Latest move to put up the wooden boards comes as tensions over the war in the Middle East intensifies at college campuses across the city and around the country, for that matter. The White House weighing in. It says it's monitoring these pro-Palestinian protests on college campuses around the nation. White House Press Secretary Andrew Bates condemned what he called alarming rhetoric at some of these demonstrations.
Like we said, while every American has the right to peaceful protest, calls for violence and physical intimidation targeting Jewish students and the Jewish community are blatantly anti-Semitic, unconscionable, and dangerous. And they have no place on any college campus.
It's interesting to watch these college presidents try to negotiate this, right? In the case of Columbia, she is trying to negotiate with the protesters to leave peacefully because she, I imagine, I don't know for sure, but I can only guess, does not want a similar scene to what took place at NYU or up at Yale University, where you have to send in riot police to take those protesters out. So she's hoping they'll leave on her own. Now, I think she's probably wrong about that. They likely won't leave on their own. And the White House says the ones who are anti-Semitic should not have any right to be out there protesting.
We saw a number of comments that crossed the line, comments that were grotesque, that were violent.
Yeah, so I think how some of these universities no doubt will be helped. It's the end of the semester already, right? Finals are about to start. So these students will go back home and you'll see some of these protests just for that reason go away. And one more before we go to sports. We've been watching this overnight. A 26-year-old man shot and killed in Brooklyn yesterday. This was in Crown Heights, about 4 in the afternoon, shot in the neck, taken to Kings County Hospital, where he was pronounced dead a short time later. They're looking for the gunman. There's no word on a motive. There have been no arrests. And they don't know exactly what took place here. But a lot of eyewitnesses to this shooting took place about 4 in the afternoon in Crown Heights. We'll, of course, continue to follow that story. And as more details come in to us, we will pass them on to you. All right, 5:15. Let's head over to the 77 WABC Sports Desk. Happy Hump Day. Good morning, Justin Alec.
Happy Hump Day. Good morning to you, Noam Alladen. Start here on the ice at the Garden. Vincent Trocheck and Mika Zibanejad each had a goal and an assist. And the Rangers held on to beat the Capitals 4-3 last night for a 2-0 lead in their first-round playoff series. Jack Roslovich and Kondre Miller also scored for the Rangers, and Eric Gustafson and Alexei Lafreniere each had 2 assists. Igor Shesterkin stopped 22 shots. New York, seeking its first Stanley Cup championship in 30 years, has won 4 straight and 12 of its last 15 games overall. The Rangers, third on the power play during the season, were 2-for-6 with the advantage and scored a shorthanded goal. Washington star left wing Alex Ovechkin had just 1 shot on goal after the 38-year-old was held without one in Game 1. Game 3 of the best-of-7 series is Friday at Washington. In baseball, Anthony Rizzo snapped a lengthy power drought with a 2-run homer that capped a 4-run first inning, and the Yanks held on for a 4-3 win over the Oakland Athletics. Giancarlo Stanton had a go-ahead 2-RBI double against Paul Blackburn in the bottom half of the first, after which Rizzo hit his second home run and his first since April 7th. Marcus Stroman showed grit on the mound for New York, striking out 9 in 5 2/3 innings. Up next for the Yanks, Game 3 of 4 against Oakland tonight at 7:05 p.m., with Clark Schmidt scheduled to get the start. Out west, the Mets ended up on the losing side of things, falling 5-1 in Game 2 of 3 against the Giants in San Fran. Starling Marte had 3 hits for New York, which lost its third straight game after a six-game winning streak. Mets starter Luis Severino carried a perfect game into the fifth inning before Conforto led off with a bloop single to left field, and Matt Chapman followed with a sharp single to right. Weird seeing Conforto's name in another context other than Mets, but he is a Giant now. Led off with a bloop single in the left field, and Matt Chapman followed with a sharp single to right. All in all, Severino allowed three runs and five hits in six innings, striking out five. They'll try and salvage the series finale against San Francisco this afternoon, scheduled for 3:45 p.m. first pitch. Lefty Sean Manaea will be taking the hill there. That's your sports now. I'm Justin Alec on 77 WABC.
WABC News Time 519. Maybe you saw this moment. It's gone viral. Mayor Adams on a flight from Miami back to New York, confronted by a passenger who is not so happy with him.
Adams was coming home from a conference on the migrant crisis when another flyer began blasting the mayor.
You support the genocide in Palestine? There are homeless people all over New York. You're always partying. You actually care about the citizens of New York. Why are you even in Miami?
The entire confrontation was caught on camera. Person also ridiculed Adams for his recent budget cuts to education programs. This all comes as tensions are rising in the Big Apple over growing pro-Palestine protests on college campuses. I'm Liz Radabali for WABC News.
2 years after a group of illegal immigrants were flown from San Antonio to the Massachusetts tourist town of Martha's Vineyard, they're getting their visas now to legally live and work in the U.S.
So what they are is their U visas, which are for victims of qualifying criminal activity.
Their attorney, Rachel Seif, there says the migrants were tricked into getting on the plane. They were promised jobs and housing, but were abandoned when they arrived on Cape Cod. Florida Governor Ron DeSantis took credit for the stunt, but he denied any foul play. The migrants apparently all signed releases. The incident still being investigated by the sheriff in San Antonio and the county's district attorney. Their attorney, Rachel Seif, says they're getting special visas for the migrants who are victims of what she says criminal activity.
These people were victimized and appear eligible for a U visa. At this point, they are eligible for work and they are protected from removal while their cases are pending.
521, let's go down to Florida. President Biden using a Tampa campaign rally as a backdrop to talk about abortion rights. He attacked a six-week abortion ban allowed to take effect by the Florida Supreme Court next week.
Next week, one of the nation's most extreme anti-abortion laws will take effect here in Florida. It's criminalizing reproductive health care from before women even know whether they're pregnant. I mean, this is bizarre.
The president says the Florida state abortion laws have caused pain. They're cruel.
We'll teach Donald Trump and extreme MAGA Republicans a valuable lesson. Don't mess with the women of America. I mean it.
Now, former President Trump has said the states should decide their abortion issue and hasn't backed calls for a national ban. While the president was in Florida yesterday, Florida Governor Ron DeSantis was calling out Biden on his visit to Tampa.
Floridians are not buying what Joe Biden is selling. And in November, we're going to play an instrumental role in sending him back to Delaware where he belongs.
DeSantis announced that Biden's calls and mess ups, as he calls it, for the border situation, inflation, his support for abortion rights amendment on the state ballot. Those are all things he says that are deceiving the voters or trying to deceive the voters of Florida. And DeSantis says that's not going to happen.
They basically just surrendered on the border. They now have no leverage to do anything on the border.
522, the Supreme Court continues to hear oral arguments over whether homeless people can be cited for camping on public property. This case will ultimately decide if local governments can enforce these laws against people sleeping outside when there's no shelter space and nowhere else to go.
Where do we put them if every city, every village, every town lacks compassion and passes a law identical to this? Where are they supposed to sleep?
Supreme Court Justice Sonia Sotomayor there, other justices already conceding that addressing homelessness is a pretty complex policy issue. At the center of this case is the Oregon City of Grants Pass, which has been enforcing ordinances that ban camping in city parks and on public property. A lower court ruled that if there are more homeless people than available shelter beds, the city can't fine people for having to camp outside.
We usually think about whether state law, local law already already achieves those purposes so that the federal courts aren't micromanaging homeless policy.
And opponents of the city's rules argue that they violate the Eighth Amendment's protections against excessive fines and cruel and unusual punishment. Dozens of protesters gathered outside the Supreme Court yesterday with signs reading that housing, not handcuffs. 524, a bill to allow arming Tennessee teachers could be law soon.
The bill allows for specially trained teachers to carry handguns in their classrooms, and parents would not know if their kid's teacher was armed or not. The measure passed the State House Tuesday along party lines, with only four Republicans voting against it. Republican Governor Bill Lee has indicated support for the measure, but says he needs to see all the details before signing. I'm Mark Mayfield.
It is cicada season. They don't sting. They don't bite. They could potentially make you itch. They do sometimes suck blood. The 13-year cicadas are arriving mostly in the southeast. Dr. Bruce Schneider, he's the associate professor of biological and environmental sciences at Georgia State University, says once the soil warms up to a certain temperature, the great southern brood will emerge and be around for about a month. He says people in central Georgia are already seeing the insects right now.
So the great southern brood has the largest geographic extent. It goes all the way from Virginia and possibly into Maryland. I'm not sure about that part of the map. And it goes all throughout the south into the Midwest over towards Missouri.
What I remember about them is they make a ton of noise, right? He says the 13-year southern brood coincides with the appearance of the 17-year northern Illinois brood, which apparently only happens every 221 years. They are clumsy when they fly. They group together in trees. Schneider says not to worry if your pet eats one or two or a few of them. It wouldn't harm them. In fact, last time they were around, I remember there were actually restaurants that were kind of cooking them up.
Certainly, pets will eat them. I'm not a dog owner myself, but from what I've heard, it can function as some roughage. And certainly, any animal eating too much of anything can be problematic, but they're just like any other insect. It really shouldn't be an issue.
Yeah, if I think about what my dog normally eats, cicada is not the worst thing.
They're not going to attack you. They are just out above ground for a really short time to try and reproduce.
Yeah, so we'll watch them. Rapper Megan Thee Stallion is being sued by a former cameraman for harassment and creating a hostile work environment.
I'm a savage.
NBC News reports that Emilio Garcia alleges he was trapped in a moving vehicle and was forced to watch Megan have sex with another woman. He also says he was fat-shamed, treated differently by the rapper, and told to not speak about what he witnessed. Garcia is asking for more than six figures in unpaid wages, punitive damages, and attorney's fees. Representatives for Megan Thee Stallion haven't commented on the lawsuit. I'm Lisa Taylor.
The opening bell, it rings this morning after stocks closed higher yesterday on strong earnings results. Stocks rose for a second day as several big corporations reported better than expected first quarter results. Spotify shares, they surged nearly 14%, while PepsiCo, UPS, GE Aerospace also provided a lift to the market. So at the closing bell, the Dow gained 263 points, S&P 500 rose nearly 60, the Nasdaq climbed 245 points.
Talk Radio 77 WABC. It's the 77 WABC News Hour.
Talking the news with Noam Layden.
All the news you need to know with Joe Nolan, Traffic, Justin Ellick, Sports. And now,
Talking the News with Noam
on 77 WABC.
That is me, 533. Good morning. It is Wednesday, April 24th. Your forecast from the Ramsey Mazda Weather Center. Could see a shower this morning. Sun clouds this afternoon, high 69. Tonight and overnight, some passing clouds, low 42. And then Thursday, sunshine cooler, high 56. If you are walking out the door with us right now, so happy you are. 46 and clear in East Hampton out on Long Island. It is 51 and partly cloudy over in Jackson in New Jersey. And it is 50 and cloudy outside our Midtown studios right now. We'll start this half hour out on Long Island, where there was another near disaster on the runway at JFK International Airport. We're getting more information, hearing some of the air traffic control moments. A communications error almost sent four different planes to cross a runway at the exact same time. This has been happening a lot lately, and maybe even more frightening because we're about to hit the summer travel season, which travel experts say will be the biggest in years, maybe ever. So this one happened last week. Fortunately, one quick-thinking pilot aborted takeoff. It turns out that that move avoided tragedy.
Swiss 17 kilo heavy, running 4 left, step takeoff.
17 kilo heavy, rejection takeoff, turn on the runway.
You know, whenever I hear that air traffic control communications, how is it not more clear? I mean, our technology is amazing. Why does it sound like they're talking on a CB radio? But anyway, the FAA is investigating the near disaster. It was a Zurich-bound Swiss Air flight cleared for takeoff, began to speed down the runway, but was forced to abort after noticing air traffic control also cleared 4 other planes to cross that same runway, putting them on this collision course. You heard that audio from air traffic control confirming Swiss Air was clear for takeoff. And then moments later, as the plane was heading down the runway, the pilot suddenly saw the other planes taxiing and thankfully aborted the takeoff. All of these planes packed with people. John Nance, he's an aviation expert. Here's what he had to say about it all.
Moving 4 aircraft across an active runway and one controller not talking to another indicates a special level of stress.
Yeah, okay. Well, he didn't add a whole lot to it. But this incident came a day after another near catastrophic close call. There was panic in the tower at Washington's Reagan National Airport as 2 packed planes came within 400 feet of each other.
Stop.
Yeah, can you imagine the panic in her voice? A JetBlue flight cleared for takeoff was forced to slam on its brakes after air traffic control noticed they cleared a Southwest Airlines plane to taxi across the exact same runway. Now, I should point out that every single day these air traffic controllers are successful at getting planes on and off the ground and people safely into the air and back into the terminal. So these incidents, thankfully, seem to be rare, but they do seem to pile up all at the same time. And, of course, again, the concern is the big travel season about to kick in. WABC News Time 5:39. We see these sophisticated burglars going from town to town. This is especially true in New Jersey, breaking into homes, finding fobs to high-end cars, and then stealing them without anybody noticing that they had busted into their home. This has happened in Montclair. It's happened in Tenafly. Now the latest town where it's happening is Rahway. Cops say there's been an uptick of home break-ins in Rahway. Thieves stealing those key fobs, driving away in the high-end cars.
The only thing people can possibly do is just lock up, make sure you keep your doors locked, and just take all the normal precautions you would typically do on a regular day.
Now, a lot of people, you put your keys right next to the door when you go in. I know I do that. They're suggesting that you don't do that now. Move that fob somewhere else, so people don't get to them when they try to break into your home. Watching this shocking surveillance video, it shows this broad daylight brawl between 2 men on a Manhattan sidewalk. This was in Hell's Kitchen, 9th Avenue and 54th Street. So one guy, he's walking with a Yorkie, right? So you would think a guy with a Yorkie, how unpleasant could he be? And then there was another guy. They got into some sort of fight. We don't know what it was all about. But the guy with the Yorkie pulls out a knife and slices the other guy in the stomach and then walks away with the Yorkie.
You're walking his dog one hand, a knife in the other hand, or razor, whatever he cut him with, right? When does it stop? Like, I mean, this ain't the old neighborhood. This is like a new era of whack jobs, right?
It sounds like it. So the 56-year-old victim who was sliced in the stomach, he's okay. He actually picked up a construction cone and threw it at the guy with the Yorkie. But I got to point out, usually guys with Yorkies are, they're usually mellow.
Oh, what do you do? Tell me. You got to stay on point? How comfortable is that? You know, to walk your dogs or walk on the street. You're afraid of who you bump into now, right? You don't know whether you say hi or, you put your hands up.
And especially a guy with a Yorkie. But by the way, they haven't caught up with the guy with the Yorkie. Thankfully, the guy who was stabbed in the stomach, he's okay. There has been a coyote sighting in Central Park. We get this every year. I think people are always amazed that there are coyotes who live in Central Park, but it's a big park. Runner Brett Combe says the coyote stopped him dead in his tracks over the weekend. He was jogging near 72nd Street, the transverse near the Ramble there. He spotted the coyote casually sauntering by. He says the two of them locked eyes. He wasn't afraid. In fact, so much so that he pulled out his camera and he videotaped the coyote so he could show the parks department.
I look up and there's a massive coyote staring right at me. Scared. We just kind of like acknowledged each other. There was plenty of distance between us, but you know, it was just We saw each other, realized we weren't threatening each other.
The Parks Department says coyotes live within city limits, have been spotted in the park several times over the past few years. But it is awfully interesting to see them in Central Park. You don't expect it. Dog walkers, moms with kids who regularly go into Central Park wonder if they need to be worried. And the Parks Department says, you know, just be on the lookout, but you're okay.
We're prime coyote bait. We have an animal. We have snacks. Yeah, we are not prepared for a coyote sighting.
The coyote looks very cute, but obviously I'd be scared to actually come across one.
So I would keep my distance, but I think we'd be okay.
Yeah, so far he's the only person that has seen this coyote over the last couple days. New York State Senator Shelley Mayer, State Senator Majority Leader Andrea Stewart-Cousins, announcing four new laws that are part of this new budget that passed that are going to provide resources to combat retail theft. There are crews of people going around. You always have the individual shoplifters, but now you have these crews that are going around and just ripping off everybody. So some of this bill would make it an assault. The first law would make assault against a retail worker a felony. The second would allow prosecutors to add larcenies together to make it a grand larceny. So if you rip off one store for $700 one day, $300 the next, they would combine those. The third law would give tax credits to small businesses that need to invest in security. And a fourth law in this bill would allow shoplifters to be charged with fostering the sale of illegal goods should they be found selling the items that they stole. That's what's happening the vast majority of these times with these crews that are going in and ripping off stores of all of their ice cream, let's say. They always go for the Haagen-Dazs. I'm not sure what that's all about. But they go for the Haagen-Dazs, resell it, and make money. They sell it to, like, a local bodega. Store owners have seen this bill, and most of them just kind of smile. They say they don't think it's going to make a lick of difference.
All the time. Sometimes once a week. Sometimes it will die down once a month. Elderly people and sometimes even kids.
Yes. So she says even if they have money for security, it's not going to stop these crews that continue to come in. Muhammad Niang, he is the owner of Hip Hop Jeans, which is in downtown Yonkers. This is a small mom and pop shop. He says it's amazing. On a daily basis, people come in and rip him off. And he says a lot of times they'll buy one thing but then rip off other things. He's been amazed by what he has seen since he's opened the store.
I have one time a person here who's spending money, but he took a hat, $5 hat. There is a people is in the blood. You can do nothing about it. I see a lot of shoplifters. That's the job, 9 to whatever.
Yeah, 9 to 5 doing it. I see it, too. It's amazing. Right in front of you. CVS, guy picking up stuff, walking out the store. And you, in that moment, you're like, should I stop this guy? And you're like, well, he's stealing watermelon. What am I going to do? And then who knows what he's has in his pocket to defend against himself from somebody like me trying to stop them. But it's awful. Maybe these bills will slow it down, but it's interesting to hear those store owners and Yonkers who both think, no, it's not going to make a difference. All right, 545. Let's head over to the 77 WABC Sports Desk where we find Justin Ellick.
Thank you, Noam Layden. Start here on the ice at the Garden. Vincent Trocheck and Mika Zibanejad each had a goal and an assist, and the Rangers held on to beat the Capitals 4-3 last night for a 2-0 lead in their first-round playoff series. Jack Roslovich and Keandre Miller also scored for the Rangers, and Eric Gustafson and Alexei Lafreniere each had 2 assists. Igor Shesterkin stopped 22 shots en route to the win. New York, seeking its first Stanley Cup championship in 30 years, has won 4 straight in 12 of its last 15 games. The Rangers, third on the power play during the season, were 2-for-6 with the advantage and scored a shorthanded goal. Washington star left wing Alex Ovechkin had just 1 shot on goal after the 38-year-old was held without one in Game 1, Game 3 of the best-of-seven series, Friday at Washington. In baseball, Anthony Rizzo snapped a lengthy power drought with a two-run homer that capped a four-run first inning, and the Yanks held on for a 4-3 win over the Oakland Athletics. Giancarlo Stanton had a go-ahead two-RBI double against Paul Blackburn in the bottom half of the first, after which Rizzo hit that home run and his first since April 7th. Marcus Stroman showed grit on the mound for New York, striking out 9 5 2/3 innings pitched. Up next for the Yanks, Game 3 of 4 against Oakland tonight at 7:05 p.m. with Clark Schmidt scheduled to get the start there. Out west, the Mets ended up on the losing side of things once again here, falling 5-1 in Game 2 of 3 against the Giants in San Fran. Starling Marte had three hits for New York, which lost its third straight game after a six-game winning streak. Mets starter Luis Severino carried a perfect game into the fifth inning for four. Michael Conforto led off with a bloop single to left field, and Matt Chapman followed with a sharp single to right. All in all, Severino, now 2-2, allowed three runs and five hits in six innings, striking out five. They'll try and salvage the series finale against San Francisco this afternoon, scheduled for 3:45 p.m. first pitch. Lefty Sean Manaea will be taking the hill there. That's your sports note.
What happened with the Sixers? Were very upset about Game 2 against the Knicks.
Yeah.
They said the officiating was awful, and especially that last 46 seconds where the Knicks pulled out, snatched a victory.
Yeah.
Did the NBA respond to that?
The NBA decided to give the Sixers the win, so now the series is tied 1-1. Yeah. Okay.
Is that
good enough for you?
Because I looked at the officiating, and I'm a longtime Knicks fan, so of course I want the Knicks to win. But it did look like the officiating was god-awful.
They submit these reports, so they go over it, and then they submit these reports, you know, and basically it just says, yeah, we screwed up. I don't know what you want us to do about it. So, you know, the game already is over. What are you going
to
do?
Yeah, but
so,
there he was. The Sixers are trying to call timeout. They somehow missed that.
Yeah, and the NBA said the official screwed up. They acknowledged that they made a mistake. He did call timeout in time. The refs didn't see the first time he called it or didn't hear it, so they couldn't grant him that timeout. It's like in baseball. When you're calling a timeout in the box, if the umpire decides to give it to you, he does. Or if he doesn't, he doesn't. And the pitch still comes. If it's a strike, it counts as a strike. If it's a ball, it counts as a ball. The pitch still counts because the umpire didn't grant you time. You can call timeout as many times as you want. You can yell and scream as much as you want on the sideline. If the referee doesn't give you time, there's no time.
Yeah.
So
it was a great 46 seconds, isn't it?
It really was. It really was. Right when that Brunson three plopped right in there, man.
Amazing.
Back to you, Nelson.
So let's get you up on some of the big stories of the morning. The Senate last night passing this major foreign aid package. It includes $60 billion in aid for Ukraine, $26 billion to support Israel, along with humanitarian aid for Gaza, $8 billion for allies in the Indo-Pacific. Of course, the conservative wing, the Republican Party, not happy with this. They didn't want all that money going overseas if there wasn't any provisions for what's going on at the U.S.-Mexico border. We'll see how that plays out. But also part of this bill, and for a lot of Americans maybe the biggest part, is this now they are taking on TikTok. And if TikTok doesn't sell itself off to an American entity, TikTok could go off and you would not be able to access it anymore.
I think it is something that we're going to have to do something about. The best approach would be if they were to divest and to allow for American ownership. If not, then we're probably going to have to eliminate it from the platforms.
Yeah, there's no signs that's going to happen, by the way. That's South Dakota Senator Mike Rounds. It would force the Chinese-owned company to be sold or face a national ban. Now, I said 77 million people on TikTok, but now I hear the number is actually 177 million people are on TikTok.
170 million American users of TikTok, but I bet virtually all of them don't understand is that once TikTok's on your phone, the Chinese Communist Party basically owns it.
Now, so there was a 92-year-old at my Seder last night who is completely and utterly addicted to TikTok, and I had her hand me her phone because I wanted to see how much time she was actually spending on TikTok. She had spent, so today's what, Wednesday? Yesterday, she had spent 4.5 hours on TikTok. So you talk about the kids being upset. I know a 92-year-old would be very upset if TikTok goes away.
I don't think many Americans are aware of how this disinformation is being spread.
Right. So here's the thought, is that the Chinese have undue influence on us through TikTok, stealing information from us. But if you talk to the kids, and I did last night, they say, wait a minute, doesn't Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, Snapchat does the same thing? sends you content, information that you push on. They take information from you and sell you all kind of items. What does it matter if the Chinese are doing it? I know a lot of people argue against that, but it is funny to sort of hear that argument. Then you have former President Trump will be back in a lower Manhattan courtroom again today. Testimony continues in his hush money case. Here he was yesterday.
The case is a sham, and it shouldn't even be tried. It shouldn't have been submitted.
No, he's back today.
He is back.
Yeah. Sid's asking me if he's back. I got that he's back, unless I have bad information, which sometimes happens. Earlier, eyewitnesses for the prosecution, David Pecker, said when he ran the National Enquirer, he funneled payments through Trump's lawyer, Michael Cohen, to kill a story about an alleged affair with a Playboy model. Yeah, Wednesday's supposed to be their day off, so maybe Sid has information I don't have. But prosecutors say that money was buried in illegal accounting practices. That's at the heart of the criminal case against Trump.
You know, this is all Biden, just in case anybody has any question. And they're keeping me in a courtroom, it's freezing, by the way, in a courtroom all day long.
Yeah, so the former president saying this is all a bid to keep him off the campaign trail, calling the case a total sham. The president of Columbia University issuing this midnight deadline to student protesters to reach an agreement on clearing that encampment on the green inside Columbia University. That midnight deadline is come and gone. The encampment is still there.
Fears our voices and they fear our power. They are nothing but another Zionist institution.
Shame!
We are hearing reports that maybe they gave him more time to figure this all out. In a letter to the university, the Columbia president, Manoush Shafiq, said the protesters would have until the end of Tuesday to come to an agreement on clearing the encampment, or they would clear it in a way that these people would not be too happy about.
It gives me so much hope that students are standing up for what they believe in. You look at history, students have always been on the right side of history.
I've seen that buses of students getting arrested.
Jewish students on campus continue to say they are being harassed as they go to classes.
I think the university has ultimately failed. I think that offering hybrid classes is, while it's helpful for some students, is basically saying we either cannot or will not protect you.
And the school's talking now about moving graduation. So the classes have gone online, if you want online classes because you feel unsafe. Now there's talk about moving the graduation from the campus to a neutral location. They're worried about protests, maybe Yankee Stadium, or even going online for the graduation. Now, remember, these are the students who lived through the pandemic and sat in their dorm rooms going to class during the pandemic. The last thing they want to do is have an online graduation.
We're hoping, like, graduation doesn't get affected too much. I think there are conversations about moving to Yankee Stadium or somewhere off campus. Like, a completely virtual graduation would kind of suck.
Yeah, that would suck. Of course, we'll continue to follow that story. Again, they said they'd have to be off the campus at midnight, but maybe they've extended that time. We'll watch for it this morning. And looking for love online has become, of course, incredibly popular. But imagine if your match turns out to be a scammer. We're seeing this more and more often. This Long Island woman telling CBS that she lost almost $500,000 in a romance scam, and then was scammed again when she went looking online for help to get her money back. Connie Rotolo is telling her story so it doesn't happen to others. She said she had been in a very happy 45-year marriage, and when her husband died, of course, she thought, okay, I want to find love in other places. And during the pandemic, she was stuck at home in her home in Nassau County and online talking to people.
You know, being alone, not having a network with you, not being able to go out. It was kind of lonely.
And so she found this guy online who ended up just being a total scammer, but he was a Prince Charming, flooding her with compliments, photos of the work that he did in the Philippines, promising that one day he would come to the U.S., but he needed money. And slowly, over a period of time, she handed him almost $500,000.
This guy promises of love and all kinds of things that at a bad time you are hearing, and it feels good to you. It's like an addiction, really.
Yeah, the minute someone starts asking you for money, I mean, that should be a sign, but not everybody picks up on that. She wishes she could find this guy and give him a little more than just a talking.
It's been on me for 3 years, and every day I beat myself up. How stupid are you, Connie? You're an educated person.
I wish I had the person in front of me. I would really, bad things would probably happen. I would be arrested.
I would probably help you out. Jeez, what an awful thing.